let's stand this morning and worship our God. Thank you for coming to Noble Assembly of God. We welcome you, and we're so glad you're here with us.
He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. Our God is the lion.
This morning, amen. Amen, amen, amen. How many of you believe that there will come a time when every knee will bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Right now we live in a world where people are fighting for power, aren't they? They're fighting for influence, they're fighting for their way. But we know that the scripture says that when it all gets resolved and at the end of time, that every knee will bow down to the one true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And aren't you glad that that's the one in which you put your faith upon? Come on now. We don't trust in men. We don't trust in kingdoms. We just trust in the one who is the King. And so let's just raise our hands this morning and let's just thank the Lord that He is the one who created us. He is the one who is, will claim victory for us. And so, Lord, we come to you this morning and we thank you. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we don't put our trust in men. We don't put our trust in kingdoms. But we put our trust in you, Lord, knowing that you are the one who laid your life upon a cross, that we may not just have life, but your word says that we may have it more abundantly. And so we claim that today. Lord, I pray for every person in this place. I pray for everyone who's watching and listening online today. I pray that they have put their faith and trust in you. I pray, Lord, that they have chosen you to be the one that they serve. And Lord, may they understand that every knee shall bow to the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that's you. We thank you for this service today. We pray your presence be here. We welcome you here in this place. And we pray, Lord, that everything that happens here would bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. You can be seated this morning for just a few moments. We've got a few announcements. We're going to be doing some things here and excited to have you here in service this morning and excited to just get to worship together. Excited to get to hear a challenging message from Pastor. And can I just ask you, as service begins, to just keep Pastor in prayer? Pastor's not, he's not going to tell you, but he's not feeling completely 100% today, but he's going to give it everything he's got. I know he will. And so would you just lift him up as you're hearing the word today and knowing that the I'm believing, Pastor, the Lord's going to speak through you in a mighty way today because of your obedience to just moving forward. We want to say thank you for those of you that are guests this morning. If you're a first-time visitor or coming to hang out with us, we say thank you for doing so. We're welcome, welcome, welcome. In the seat back in front of you is a card. It's a guest card. And if you would just take that and fill it out and then place it in the offering bag, which you'll pass in just a little bit, that will give us a record of your attendance. And we would really appreciate that very, very much. Well, we've got a lot of announcements today, including our missions, fall missions convention that's coming up. This Saturday is our work day, and we just want to invite any and all of you to come hang out with us. We're going to have biscuits and gravy at 8 o'clock, and then we're going to, the way that's going to work is you'll show up, and you'll find Jeremy Caldwell. Jeremy's raising his hand right there, and then I'll be somewhere near him as his assistant, and we have just a list of things that varying degrees of skill and ability that people can do, and you'll say, hey, what, and we'll just assign you. We'll hand you whatever you need for that job, and we're going to get a bunch of things done here at once. How many of you know that many hands makes light work, right? Amen. And so we can use guys, we can use ladies, we can use teenagers. I'm not sure about kids. Kids might be a little, but maybe we can corral them in one area. But they could probably put them the same place they put me. And the kids and Pastor Phil. But anyway, we'll start at 8 o'clock. We're planning on just working from about 8 to noon. If you can only come for a part of that time, I still encourage you to come, all right? Come give an hour. Come give a couple hours. That would be fine, too. And nobody's going to go, no, you can't leave. It's not noon yet, all right? We would just be appreciative of you being willing to come and be a part of the community effort of making our church the best it can be. I want to encourage you, tonight is the night that connect groups begin, and I want to encourage you to be a part of a connect group. We have a variety of different connect groups. Our kids meet here on campus over in the other building, and they are going to be doing a series called The Three Musketeers. Donna Flowers and her crew. Donna's right over there. And yep, Benjamin. Come on, wave your hand, Benjamin. There's Benjamin and Miss Melissa. Miss Melissa's over there. They're going to lead our kids through a study about the Trinity, all right? The ultimate three musketeers and the journey that God has for them. And so that's going to be exciting. George Smith is right here at the back. George, would you wave your hand? George is right there, and he's going to be leading a group here, and we'd love for you to be a part of that at 6 o'clock tonight. My group is teaming up tonight with Jeremy Caldwell's group. Jeremy, wave your hand. See, Jeremy and I, we're buddies. We like to hang out. So we're going to Hideaway Pizza because It's somewhere in the scripture. I was having a hard time finding the exact reference this morning, Pastor, but it says that holy is the pizza. So that's a loose translation. It does say that man cannot live by bread alone, but if you put sauce on it, it's close. So that's not true either. But we are going to enjoy some pizza and love for you to come hang out with us at Hideaway at 6 o'clock. Have some great fellowship, some great fun. And like I said, Jeremy's group is normally a separate group, but they're going to come hang out with us tonight. And Pastor Chad's group will be meeting at 6 o'clock also. And so you can check out the table there for him. Glenna Balmer, let's see, Glenna, where's Glenna? Miss Glenna's right back there, she's waving, and her group is at Glenda Humphreys, when she's waving right there. Look at all these people waving. They just love it when I point them out. Their group is going to start at 5 o'clock, and it's specifically for widows, or Miss Glenna wanted me to announce that maybe you're a lady here that comes to church, but currently your husband is not attending with you. She'd love for you to come be a part of their group also as you grow together and all of that. And so, and then Pastor's got his group, and they're going to Sam's Southern Eatery, right? And so it sounds fishy to me, but thank you. And so 6 o'clock. And did I miss a group? Let's see, Jeremy. I think I got them all, didn't I? Huh? Yeah, I think I did it. I did it. So anyway, you can, please, would you do us a favor? We want, first of all, please become a part of a group, all right? You have lots of fun, make lots of memories, have great fellowship, encourage one another. But more importantly, also, would you sign your name up on the sign-up list so that our leaders know who to see, who's coming, and who to be prepared for, and all of that. And so we want you to be a part of a group tonight. Those groups will happen the second and fourth Sunday of the month in September, October, and November. And then we'll culminate on the second, Sunday of night of December. We're going to all come together for a big kind of Christmas celebration. And so we want you to be a part of that. And it's going to be a great time. Water baptism's coming up. You can sign up for that. And so at this time, I'm going to ask Miss Cherry Smith to come, as we're going to do something super cool, and that is recognize our honor stars and all their hard work. So would you give Miss Cherry a hand? Yeah.
Thank you. We're going to recognize two of our girls this morning, and we have a couple that couldn't be here today, so we told them we'd recognize them a little later, but we're going to go ahead and recognize two because they're ready and they're excited about what they've done. Can I really quick just recognize all the girls' ministry helpers? Can I have all of you stand? Miss Melissa, Miss Heather, Miss Ann, anybody that's in the room, I just want to recognize them. And Stephanie, where are you? There she is. I just want to say thank you. They work hard. They're here every Wednesday, and they show up early. We all show up really early. And, like, I have a group that starts at 6:15. Then we have another group that starts when church starts. And we're here till, you know, about 8:30. So I appreciate all of them. I know it's a lot of work, and I really appreciate all that they do. I'm grateful to each one of them. And they show up and do, Miss Heather does Sunday mornings with the older girls. So we have wide and varied. So there's something going on all the time. If you have a girl that's third grade and up, we have so much, and now we have a first and second grade class, so we have our little Prims and Daisies, so don't miss out on those things, because if you have girls, they need to know about the Lord and about the women in the Bible, and we teach them those stories, and some of these girls, I was teaching Esther one night, and I was just stunned. I said, you guys know who Esther is, right? They looked at me and said, Esther? Who is she? They thought she was someone in church. So sometimes they really, really need to get that word. So I would encourage you, if you've got a girl, to let her be a part of that, because we learn those stories that give us faith when we need it. And these girls have learned 27 verses. They've memorized them and had to test over them and have a 70% or higher. But all of our girls always get 90 or higher. I'm just going to brag on them. And they've worked really, really hard to get those verses down and perfect them. I didn't even have to answer a question during the test. We did it out on the playground because it was the beginning of COVID. And I literally put them a TV tray, a snack, and a test. They didn't ask me one thing. They sat down and wrote and wrote and wrote. And I thought, Those are awesome kids. They love the Word of God. They got into it, and they have all learned 27 units with stories with four lessons to get to do this. When they complete that and they do 10 honor steps, which are like the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, the Statement of Faith of the Church, and they've done those things, 10 of those, then they get some recognition and they get a crown. Some of you got to go and watch. I am about to have knee surgery, so I didn't get to go and watch it on a video and was so disappointed. I don't like not being there. I like to be with the girls. But I really, really love that they did the work. And so now we're going to recognize them for all that effort. And one of them, as I told you, Cabri's not here, Emily's not here. We'll recognize them later. But today we're going to recognize Isabella and Adassa. Would you all come up front and let me recognize you? Aren't they pretty? They each got their crown. They got a trophy. And Addie also earned her bronze medal for having been in the program since she was an itty-bitty. She was one of our first little rainbows and all the way up through there and has done all of these different classes to learn this. So she got an extra medal for having been here so long. And I've got a little gift for each. This is for Addie. And this is for you, Isabella. And I just want to say how proud I am of both of you. You are just special. This group of girls is just awesome. I just love them to death. And if you have a girl who hasn't been here and she's worried about, you know, she's missed the first section, they can still come back and do the next group. They can do Friends. These girls have started Friends now. So if you have a teenager that is 6th through 8th grade, we're doing Friends Club. We do that at 6:15 on Wednesday night, right before church, so they can go on to youth and get a whole evening of teaching. And Pastor Phil will fill them in on the rest. So we thank you so much. We're proud of you. And I pray that the Lord blesses and orders every footstep. Remember, life is kind of like an ocean. Sometimes it's smooth sailing. Sometimes it's waves. Sometimes it's hard and difficult, but we know the master of the waves, and he's going to take care of it all.
Hey, girls, stay right here. Stay right here real quick. Let's pray over them. Let's pray. Why don't you just extend your hands out to, let's pray a blessing over these young ladies. And Lord, I just thank you for the work that you're doing in their lives. I thank you, Lord, for the memorization of Scripture. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing you have placed upon these young ladies. And I pray, Lord, that this journey that you have began with them, you will continue with them through the rest of their life. Lord, I pray that they would just day by day grow more in love with you. I pray that day by day they grow closer to you. And Lord, we know that the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, I get a hug. Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. The worship team, you can come on back up. We're going to go back into worship. And so we're going to receive of the tithe and offering. And amen. Come on. I'm going to tell you right now, these guys that are receiving the tithe and offering are not near as cute as the girls were. No, that wasn't a joke. That was real. That was straight truth. All right. We're going to pray, and then we're going to go right. As soon as the offering bag passes you, you can enter back into worship. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in our church. We thank you, Lord, for the Connect groups and the leaders who have stepped forward to lead these Connect groups and to create fellowship and community, Lord, just a support system. And Lord, we pray right now that you would just bless the tithe and the offering. We pray right now that you would just multiply it. And we ask right now that all that happens here today would bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Changes, darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, heaven every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
Truly cannot get enough of your presence, Jesus. We cannot ever get enough of you, Lord Jesus. God, for if we truly feel your presence, Lord God, we don't ever want to leave that presence, Lord Jesus, because it's so sweet and it's so precious. We glorify your name, Jesus. God, we praise you, Jesus.
Atmosphere is changing now, for the dances all around, that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Sing it again.
The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord. is all around, that the Spirit of the Lord is here. A miracle can happen now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. Evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Jesus, you're here. Oh, you're here. God, we feel your Spirit. Jesus.
You know, the Spirit is in you. We always say, let your presence be here, and it's in this room, but it's not just in this room, it's in you. Isn't that awesome? That's so awesome. Jesus, thank you, God, that you're inside, Lord Jesus. And you know, when we think about the fact that he is truly in us, he's in us, we also know that we are never alone, that we are always living out in his goodness and in his faithfulness to us. And as I've been singing and praying over these songs this week, the Lord dropped in my spirit. I wasn't going to say this because I didn't know. You know, you just always have self-doubts and stuff, but we walk in his goodness, and sometimes we're just kind of walking along, and it just seems like we're just kind of even. You know what I'm saying? You're just kind of like getting the mundane of the day. And I don't know who needs to hear this. But even in the mundane of the day, when you think that you're just all by yourself, when you just think you're just all alone and nobody else is there with you, God is with you. And God sees you where you are. The Lord said to me this morning, God sees you. I don't know who needs that. I don't know who's feeling invisible this morning. You know, I have times that I feel invisible. But God sees you. He sees you where you are this morning. Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness, God. Jesus, I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Jesus, come on now. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Come on, have you lived in his goodness? Come on now. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. And your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Let's sing it again. All my life, Jesus.
All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're running after us. We thank you, Lord, that you are concerned about everything that goes on in our lives, even the small things. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your goodness through the years. I pray, God, that you help us to realize just how wonderful and how blessed we are to be your children. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, just meet every need in this place today, God. You know what every person has on their heart today. You know where they're at, what they're thinking, what they're feeling. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you would just minister to every single person. May we not leave here the way we came in. May we leave here with our head lifted a little higher, with our heart a little more closer to you, with our burdens feeling a little lighter, with our bodies feeling healed and strengthened by your touch. Lord, bless today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Wonderful, wonderful time of worship. Thank you, worship team. Praise God. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Revelation. You want to read one verse, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 22. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a message called The Voice. And so that message had to do with the voice that we have, the voice that we sing with, that we pray with, that we encourage one another with, that we communicate with, that we preach and teach with. But, you know, just as important is God's voice. In fact, more important is God's voice. And we're going to talk about God's voice this morning in a message entitled The Voice Part 2. Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Lord, we pray this morning that you would help us to be able to hear your voice, that we might know what you are saying to the churches, to us. We are the church. I pray, Father God, that you help us to discern your voice, not just on Sunday or on Wednesday night, but every single day that we live. Let us be attuned to your voice. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. God speaks because he is real, because he is alive. There are people that don't like the fact that Jesus is alive, that God is alive. They want him dead. Kind of like in the movie, God's Not Dead. That professor wanted all of the students in his class to be able to write on that piece of paper, God is dead. But I want to tell you, God is not dead. He is alive and he speaks. Hallelujah. He speaks to us and he speaks through us as his family, as believers. How does he speak? One of the ways he speaks primarily is by his word. By the Bible. This is how God speaks to us primarily. It's so important that we read the Word of God, not just once in a while, but continually, so we can discern God's voice when he speaks to us. He also speaks to us by his works, by creation. As I was driving to the church early this morning, as I turned east on Post Oak from off of the highway and I looked, you could see the sun, just a bright ball of glowing fire through the haze and through the clouds. And I thought, Lord, there is no denying that that sun is right there. There is no denying that I'm seeing that in the clouds. That didn't just get there by accident. Somebody put that sun there. Somebody put the birds in the air that fly by as I got out of my car. I started noticing all these things about creation. I thought, you know, this just didn't happen. Behind an intelligent design is a super intelligent designer. God created all of this. Boy, if we ever need to tune into a voice, we need to tune into God's voice above all. Can you say amen? So he speaks by his word. He speaks by his works. He speaks by his Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our minds. In 1 Kings 19, there's a story about Elijah, and God is wanting to speak to him. There's a big thunderstorm and there's an earthquake, and God didn't speak in any of those things, but God spoke to him in what's called a still small voice, a gentle whisper. And that's usually the way the Lord speaks to us, in our heart. It's just a still small voice. I remember in 1980, I was home from my freshman year of college. It was in the summer. And I was working there in Enid. I worked at Marlat Auto Supply in the machine shop, and we had a revival scheduled. And so I went to the revival, and while I was at the revival, the Lord spoke to my heart, first of all, that I needed to go and apologize to somebody. So I obeyed. They were in that service. And so I went and apologized to them. And then I went back down to the altar. And that still small voice said, Steve, I don't want you to be an accounting major. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to be a preacher. I'm calling you to the ministry. And you could tell me 1,000 times that really wasn't the voice of God, but I'll tell you 1,000,000 times it was the voice of God. I heard him say, go and preach my word. So I changed my major and went back to college and changed it to Christian ministries. And so God does speak to us, and I'm so thankful that he does. He has a calling for all of us, a ministry, something that he wants us to do for him. He speaks by his word, by his works, by the Holy Spirit. He also speaks by circumstances and by other people. Many times other people is a confirmation of something he's already put in your heart. But he speaks through circumstances. C.S. Lewis, the great apologist and theologian, wrote in the book The Problem of Pain, he whispers to us in our pleasures, he speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. You know, the Lord knows how to get our attention. Many times he causes pain to come upon us in various ways. We feel pain, and that's when he is shouting to us, listen up, I'm trying to tell you something. Pain can be God's megaphone to your life. It's definitely God's megaphone to a dying world. Let me ask you this morning, would you say that it is critical that we come to know and understand God's voice? I believe it's super critical. I believe it is very, very important, because just as the text said, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. There's a verse in the Bible that says, be still and know that I am God. Many times we don't like to be still. We feel like if we're being still, we're not accomplishing anything. We're just wasting time. But there is a time and a place in our lives when we need to just be calm and be still and listen and slow down from the frantic pace that we're running at to hear God's voice. I believe there are things that the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us as a church and as the body of Christ, but many times we're not listening very well. We're not dialed in. We need to have our radio dialed in on the right frequency. You ever tried to play your radio and you're trying to listen to something, you don't quite have it dialed in right? We need to be dialed in to what the Lord is saying to us. We have to take the time to listen. And that reminds me of a story in the New Testament. It's found in Luke chapter 10, the story of Mary and Martha. You all know this story, but let me just read verse 38 through 42 about Mary and Martha. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." You can almost hear the voice, tone of voice she's probably using. But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Here we see two sisters who both love Jesus. Their brother was Lazarus. You know, he later died. In fact, in the next chapter, he died, and the Lord raised him from the dead. But Mary and Martha both loved Jesus, and they wanted Jesus to feel comfortable at their house. But they have two vastly different approaches to him being there. And both approaches are right in their proper time. It's good to have the Martha spirit at times and get things done. It's good for us to be busy and do the things that we need to do to get things done. Working, preparing. But it's also good to have the spirit of Mary. Sitting and learning. And maybe even more, because most of us are pretty good at being like Martha. We're just not so good at being like Mary. Most of us are really busy going here, serving the Lord, doing this and doing that. I, as a pastor, can get caught up sometimes in just going here, doing this, got to do this, got to go to this hospital, got to write this sermon, got to prepare for Wednesday night, got to get the worship ready and do that. And the Lord's sitting back there, "Steve, hello, McFly. You're working for me. Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you just sit and listen to me for a little bit? Why can't we just sit and have a conversation? You're doing all this stuff for me, but I'm feeling kind of left out because you're not talking to me. Hello?" We're good at that. We're good at being Martha's, not so good at being Mary's. So the Lord is calling to us to take time, spend time with him. And when we don't do that, we miss out. We miss out on his presence. Don't you just love the presence of the Lord? You love being in a service or being in time, maybe even your own private prayer time, or maybe you're driving down the road in your car and you just sense the presence of the Lord. It's so wonderful. I know I've been to, in the last 2 weeks, I've been to 5 funerals. I could have gone to a 6th one yesterday, but I didn't go. Did something else up to help my parents at a garage sale up in Enid, but I've been to 5 funerals. But you know what? I was thinking that, Lord, their death did not win, because the great thing is that all of these 5 people, they were all believers. Death did not win. Jesus won, and they won. But as I was just driving down the road, I was just singing along with my CD. I was singing with some Ivan Parker of the Gaither Vocal Band, and I was singing some B.J. Thomas, and I just loved. I'm kind of glad nobody went with me, because me and the Lord, I wouldn't be able to sing out without I had a car full of people, you know. But we just singing and worshiping the Lord. But we miss his presence when we don't take the time to talk with the Lord and sit at his feet. We miss his guidance and direction. We miss his words of comfort, his words of peace. We miss his encouragement. We miss out on his correction and his conviction even as well. We miss his power to do great wonders and miracles in his name when we don't take the time to just sit and talk and pray and commune and meditate and be with the Lord. We miss out on so much. Pastor Mark Batterson, I refer to him a lot. I know I do. but I just love his book, Draw the Circle. And in that book, he talks about a man that that sat at Jesus' feet and how the Lord used him. He talks about history belongs to the intercessors. Charles Finney was the most famous evangelist of his generation. He made headlines during the Second Great Awakening, but there is a footnote to the story. Finney had an errand. Remember Aaron and Hur that held up Moses' hands? Finney had an errand named Daniel Nash. Before right now, has anybody ever heard of Daniel Nash? You have? One person, one or two people in this entire congregation heard of Daniel Nash. But how many of you heard of Charles Finney, the great evangelist? Many of you. But we haven't heard of Daniel Nash, but here's the story about Daniel. At the age of 48, Father Nash quit his pastorate to devote himself to full-time intercession. Several weeks before Finney would visit a city, Father Nash would rent a room, recruit two or three intercessors, and begin laying a prayer foundation for the revival that would follow. By the time Finney showed up, the hard work had already been done. The victory had already been secured in the spirit realm. During one of his revivals, Finney was contacted by a woman who ran a boarding house in town. She asked him, "Brother Finney, do you know a Father Nash? He and two other men have been at my boarding house for the last 3 days, but they haven't eaten a bite of food. I opened the door and peeped in at them because I could hear them groaning, and I saw them down on their faces. They have been this way for 3 days, lying prostrate on the floor and groaning. I thought something awful must have happened to them. I was afraid to go in. I didn't know what to do. Would you please come to see about them?" Finney replied, "No, it isn't necessary. They just have a spirit of travail and prayer." When public meetings started, Father Nash rarely attended. He stayed in his prayer closet, pleading with God for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to fall on the crowd and melt their hearts. Shortly before his death in 1831, Father Nash recorded these words in his journal: "I am now convinced it is my duty and privilege and the duty of every other Christian to pray for as much of the Holy Spirit as came down on the day of Pentecost and a great deal more. I have only just begun to understand what Jesus meant when he said, 'All things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing you will receive.'" Father Nash is buried in a small cemetery near the border of New York and Canada. The headstone on his grave contains the following epitaph: "Daniel Nash, laborer with Finney, mighty in prayer, November 17th, 1775 through December 20th, 1831. Prayer is the pen that writes history. Don't worry about making headlines. Focus on the footnotes. And if you focus on the footnotes, God will write the headlines. Wow. Wow. Sitting at Jesus' feet, interceding and praying for God's will to be done in a community, in a family, in a church. That's the real work. So not only do we miss out, not only do we miss out when we fail to sit at Jesus' feet, others miss out on what God would do in their lives. And that's probably the greatest reason of all to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his voice, because Jesus was always about others. Jesus, others, you. The first letter of each of those would spell joy. What a great way to spell joy. Jesus, others, you. In that order. My connectedness to God affects not only me, but it affects my family. It affects my church. It affects this community. How we need to stay connected like Mary did to Jesus and not be so busy like Martha. Today I want to give you three reasons for sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his voice. Number one, it allows us to hear from God first. It allows us to hear from God first. How many times do we go to God when all else fails, sort of like a last resort? Well, I've done everything else. I guess I'll have to pray. I don't have any other options. I guess I got to pray. How about if we go to God first? Don't make him a last resort. Make him a first priority. Go to him first. He should be our first resort. As we spend time with him every day, reading and digesting his word and listening to his voice, we naturally will talk to him about what's going on in our lives and our family and our community and our church and our country. Let's not prioritize serving over hearing. While Martha was distracted by all the work and whining to Jesus about Mary not helping at the moment, Luke 10:42 says, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. There is value, great value, in just sitting still for a while and listening and learning from the greatest voice of all. The most important thing, along with other important things, but the most important thing is to be in a relationship with Jesus and hear from him. Hearing should come before doing. We must strive for that balance in our busy world. We must strive for the balance of, Lord, let me just not be busy going here and going yonder and doing this and doing that, but Lord, let me take time to just sit with your word. Just sit there in my chair, on my couch, in my lazy boy, and just open your word and turn off the TV and just say, Lord, speak to me. Wouldn't that just tickle the heart of God that the Lord is more important than Wheel of Fortune? That the Lord is more important than the voice, speaking of the voice. That the Lord is more important than other things we do, God. We just want to prioritize your word. Speak to us, God. So we must strive for that balance. Secondly, it shows that we recognize who he is. Being at Jesus' feet represents an act of worship to the God of the universe, to the God who made all, is above all, is beyond all, is through all, and in all. Hallelujah. Luke 17:16 says the Samaritan leper fell at Jesus' feet in gratitude for being healed. Remember, there was 10 of them cleansed, and only one came back to say thank you. And when he came back to Jesus, it says he fell at his feet and said, oh, thank you, Lord. Would to God that we would fall at Jesus' feet and say thank you, Lord, for your blessing, and not just take everything for granted. The demon-possessed man in Luke 8:28 falls at Jesus' feet and begs not to be tortured. And later in Luke 8:35, we see him sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. Hallelujah. God still changes people. Wow. He went from demon-possessed to being spirit-possessed by the Holy Spirit, sitting in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. In John 11:32, it says, Mary fell at Jesus' feet crying because her brother Lazarus had died, and saying, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Later in John 12:3, Mary pours expensive perfume on Jesus' feet, and she wipes them dry with her hair. You see, there's a lot of occasions in Scripture where people fell at Jesus' feet. In fact, there's a day coming. The Bible says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Every single person who's ever lived and breathed on this planet will fall at Jesus' feet and say, Jesus, you are Lord. We need to be doing that now regularly while we can in our own volition, and not waiting till people are forced to do it at one point. Everyone will be forced. You must bow and confess Jesus is Lord. I want to do it now. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. You are my Lord and my Savior. I bow to my heart at your feet right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thirdly, sitting at Jesus' feet is important because it shows a sense of trust. It shows a sense of trust. Mary rested in the Lord because she chose the better part of sitting at the feet of Jesus. By trusting in God, we can understand that we are only co-workers and stewards of God's work. We don't make things happen, God does. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9 says it this way. After all, who is Apollos and who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. You see, we are co-workers with God. God makes it grow. We must serve the Lord in the strength he provides, not in our own strength. Matthew chapter 11, you all know this scripture, verses 28 through 30 says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Anybody ever carry a heavy burden? Any people in here today, you're carrying a burden? Amen. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and the burden I give you is light. Burden is light. I'm so thankful that we can trust in the Lord, that he has got our back, that he's watching over us. He's taking care of us. Why do we not want to come and say, Lord Jesus, I just bow at your feet, at your feet. The way we come to Jesus, as that verse declares, is by sitting at his feet in worship, in prayer, and learning of him. We need to take time to sit and soak in the Lord's presence. I know sometimes it feels good to sit and soak in a big bathtub, doesn't it? I take showers 98% of the time, but every now and then I forget the shower. I just want a big bubble bath. I just pour in the bubble bath. I just want to sit there, and we got one of those whirlpool tubs. You know, we don't use it very often, but it's one of those whirlpool tubs. And boy, just feeling those jets hit you in the back. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, this is heaven. Sometimes we can get so busy hurriedly getting ready, hurriedly getting the shower, and in the spiritual side, we are hurriedly, oh, where's my devotion for today? Remember we talked about that a couple weeks ago? And Judas hung himself. No. You know, finding a quick verse. Sometimes we just need to sit and soak with God's word and sit at Jesus' feet. It's how we clearly hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that's us. We are the church. It's how we gain strength. It's how we gain favor. It's how we gain wisdom and power. It's how we function in this sin-darkened world. Remember, we need to function with what? Unction. With the power of the Holy Spirit. I challenge you today by the Spirit of God to make room. Make room for the Lord. Make room. Make room to hear his voice. Make room in your schedule to sit at his feet. You're shortchanging yourself. I shortchange myself when I get so busy, I don't have time to sit at his feet. Make room for Jesus. Musicians, would you come? Make room for Jesus. Make room to know him. Nothing is more important. Nothing else is more important. Than making room for the Lord. Father, I pray that you help us today to make room. Forgive us, Lord, when we get so busy that we don't have time to hear your voice, that we don't take time to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. Forgive us, Lord. God, help us to be like Mary and set aside other things that may need to be done for a few minutes. Set aside the dishes that need put in the dishwasher and set aside the lawn that needs to be mowed. Set aside the homework that needs to be helped with our kids and just focus on you. Forgive us, Lord, when we're so busy with other things that we don't make room. Help us make room in our schedule for you. For only when we do that will we experience the peace that passes all understanding. We'll experience the power of the Lord. We'll experience your presence. And we'll gain a heart of wisdom. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. The worship team is going to come back and sing a song that I asked them if they could sing because it was going through my mind as I was preparing this message. I think it's called, is it called Nothing Else? Yeah. And it basically talks about this very thing. As they are singing, I would invite you to come and make a place of prayer either at your pew or around the front and say, Lord, nothing else is more important than you right now. Lord, I want to demonstrate to you that nothing else is more important than you. I give my heart and my soul and my life to you. Forgive me, Lord, where I have failed. Forgive me, Lord, where I have put other things ahead of you. Help me, Father God, to sit at your feet. We thank you, Jesus. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I invite you to find me or Pastor Phil as we'll be down here praying as well. And tap us on the shoulder and say, would you pray for me? I need to ask Jesus into my heart. I need to become a Christian. I need to know that my sins are forgiven, that my past is covered, that my future is secure in Jesus. We would be happy to pray with you. If you're watching online, if you don't know Jesus, I encourage you and beseech you to make room for him in your heart. He loves you more than you'll ever imagine. Thank you, Lord.
Caught up in your presence, I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this hole. You don't owe me anything. nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, and nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, and nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do.
Go to the key of C. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let's pray.
presence on holy ground.
Oh, let's sing it one more time. Lift it up to the Lord. Yes, we are standing. We're on holy ground. And I know there are angels all around. So let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing in His presence. We are standing in His presence. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord and give Him praise today. We magnify You, Lord. We glorify You, Lord. We stand here today as the body of Christ in Your presence. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your help. We thank You, Lord, for Your hope and for Your healing, Lord, that we have today in You. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for our salvation. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that our name is written down in glory. Oh, Jesus, thank You for touching us. Thank You, Lord, for helping us. Thank You, Lord, for bringing us out of the darkness and into the light. Oh, God, we just pray that You help us to take the time to sit at Your feet, to sit in Your presence, oh, Lord, and to bask in what You have to say to us, to have ears to hear, to have ears to hear what You are saying for us to do. Saying for us to be comforted with what You are saying for us, for our families, for our church, for our community and our nation. Help us, oh God. Help Your church to be alive and well, being the light and being the salt and being the voice. For the power and the presence of the Lord in our generation. Oh God, empower us, Holy Spirit. Empower us. Empower us, we pray. Jesus, we love You, Lord. Jesus, we thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. God, thank You for allowing us to be here in Your presence today. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. I pray that You help us to go from here and apply it, not just on Sundays, but every day. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning.